Know Your Constituency, the RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello and welcome to Know Your Constituency. This is a podcast map of the general election taking you through all 43 constituencies. Now, if this is the first one you've listened to, we'll be bringing you the information you need to know, the seats, the seat holders, the boundaries, and the information you want to know, the infighting, the rivalries, the turf wars. I'm Rachel English. RTE Radio's Barry Lenehan is here again. He's here for all 43 episodes. And joining us from Cork is Teresa Reedy, political scientist at University College Cork. So we're ready to crack on. This time we're looking at Wexford. Barry, can you tell us about the seats and the seat holders?
Yes, four seats on this occasion. It was five the last time. So a bit of a new constituency, and three incumbents are standing their ground, going on the ballot paper once again. They are Sinn Féin's Johnny Mighton, Fianna Fáil's James Brown, and Verona Murphy of the Wexford Independent Alliance. Departing the field are former Labour Party leader Brendan Howlan and Paul Kehoe of Fine Gael.
I think it's fair to say then, Teresa, that this is one of those constituencies where there is a lot of change.
Absolutely. And these changes have been very controversial indeed. So the 2023 boundary review has created two constituencies that cover the county of Wexford. So the old Wexford constituency, that had been a single county constituency for decades. It had been a five-seater going back into 1981. So the commission has actually split the constituency, created a new four-seat Wexford constituency and a new three-seat Wicklow-Wexford constituency, which will take in the north part of Wexford, places like Ferns, Bunclody and Gorey, and the south part of Wicklow. And there was an awful lot of shock amongst the local TDs in Wexford when this was announced, because at that stage, all five of them were actually located in the southern part of Wexford, which is becoming a four-seat constituency. Now, that pressure has been somewhat alleviated since then, with some kind of retirements being announced. But these are very significant changes, and the most significant changes in this boundary revision. There was quite a lot of disagreement with them and discussion when the changes were announced, and even talk at one stage that there might be some effort to challenge them in the courts, although that kind of fizzled out fairly quickly.
What would you say the big issues are in this constituency?
So Wexford is quite an interesting constituency. You know, this is the sunny southeast, and it's generally included in the area we call the Pale. There are pockets of great wealth, some beautiful farmland alongside the kind of huge port of Rosslare. But there are also pockets of deprivation that we probably don't hear enough about. Unemployment is higher in Wexford than it is in other parts of the country. It's very interesting. CSO reported that it has the second lowest proportion of population with third level education, second lowest county on that front. And in particular, places like Enniscorthy and Wexford Town have really struggled with long-term unemployment, even in this period of quite high employment. Wexford also has a high population of retired people in comparison to other parts of the in other parts of the country. So, you know, it's quite a mixed profile. Manufacturing and industry are very important here, but it also has a higher proportion of farmers than a lot of other counties would do and a lot of other constituencies would do. So when it comes to the election, we'll be expecting agriculture to be up there, but also a lot of kind of focus on how to improve the overall economic profile of the county, alongside the more kind of typical issues that we're expecting to dominate in the election. For example, health, housing, immigration has been a flashpoint in this constituency as well, and it's probably going to reemerge in the course of the campaign too. So that probably will be on the list here.
Mm-hmm. And just before we go any further, before we start naming names, it's worth saying, as always, that the information we're relying upon, it's correct at the time of recording, but nominations haven't yet closed, so more names can still be added to the ticket. Now, bearing all of that in mind, Barry, will you start bringing us through them?
Well, let's start with the last 2020's poll topper. That was Johnny Mighton. They nearly had to weigh his votes. There were so many first preferences. He took 25% of the vote, almost 19,000 votes. Johnny Mighton, perhaps unheard of before that, has had a low profile since as well nationally and perhaps for some period locally as well. So some surprise he's back on the ticket here for Sinn Féin, but he is highly regarded. He did get close to a seat in 2016 as well when he was just 52 votes off Paul Kehoe at the final hunt. So Johnny Mighton back there again. He is impacted by the boundary redraw. He's from Enniscorthy, and of course the new constituency kicks in at the roundabout as you leave Enniscorthy. So Johnny Mighton, Sinn Féin endured a miserable local elections here, including just getting 6.5% in New Ross. So that's him. A permanent fixture. We wouldn't be talking about politics in Wexford without the Brown family. Every election since 1948 there has been a member of the Brown family on the ballot paper in Wexford, of course going back to John Brown and before that his uncle as well. On this occasion the flag bearer is James Brown, the junior minister at the Department of Justice, first elected in 2016, and the perceived wisdom is that although he is also impacted by the boundary review, he could lose as many as 3,500 votes, that he should be rather secure. Fianna Fáil did outpoll Fine Gael throughout South Wexford in the local elections, so confidence that he should take a seat.
Who else is in the field here, Teresa?
So a candidate that is definitely worth talking about is Verona Murphy. She came to public attention back in 2019 at the by-election caused by the election of Mick Wallace to the European Parliament. Now, she was quite controversial in that by-election. She was initially contesting for Fine Gael, but as a result of remarks she made about immigration and emigrants, she ended up contesting the election as an independent. She went on then to take a seat in the 2020 general election, and she has done very well on the ground, and she has built up a team of councillors that have been working with her over the last period of time. She gained, I think, 5 seats at the local elections earlier this year, and so the expectation is that she will certainly hold on to that seat.
But what I'm hearing from people in Wexford and from people on the ground in Wexford, that a lot for Verona Murphy might depend on, and it is expected locally, that perhaps Mick Wallace might throw his name into the ring. Of course, the poll topper in 2011, that
he might. There's an interesting one.
And he's obviously based around South Wexford in Wellington Bridge. Lots of local links around there through his various businesses and sports interests. People not saying he'd be secure for a seat if he ran, but he would perhaps dent some of Verona Murphy's vote by dint of the independent appeal and also geography as well. Not confirmed, but many well-informed sources are saying that he's waiting until the last minute, perhaps, to throw his hat into the ring. So that could really be a wild card, especially for the independent type vote.
That would certainly upset the vote. And in fact, it aligns with a lot of Mick Wallace's approach to election campaigning. He came into the race very late when he first took the seat in 2011, and tends not to actually put a lot of effort into his campaigns, as we might have commented on earlier this year in the European Parliament elections.
The one thing, his vote was down in 2016, so that's why local political observers are saying that even if he did enter, he wouldn't be guaranteed a seat. So it is certainly one of much intrigue nonetheless.
Alright, so he's somebody who might or might not run. Let's talk about some of the others who will definitely be on the ballot paper.
Well, Brendan Howland, of course, stepping away from the Labour Party after being successful at, I think, 10 elections. George Lawler is the flag bearer on this occasion for Labour. He had a very credible performance for the party in the 2019 by-election won by Malcolm Byrne when he took 20% of the vote. And Labour feel very confident that he can hold the Howland seat, which has been there, the Labour seat, which has been in Wexford really since the foundation of the state. He is the Wexford town area and its hinterland, its suburbs around Pierce's town and the commuter area of Wexford town, really all to himself. He's the only prominent candidate there heretofore, and he also got a great boon of publicity when he was PRO for the Fla Ceoil when it was held in Wexford. And the Labour Party really should have taken 3 seats in the Wexford local electoral area, garnering a huge vote there. Labour feel confident. They think he would hold Brendan Howland's vote. vote was generally around 8,000 to 10,000, but other political apparatchiks and observers locally are more sceptical, noting how Labour's vote really ran to the ground outside of Wexford town in the local elections. The organisation not as strong, they say. Perhaps Howland would often get 2,500 votes outside of Wexford town, but nonetheless, Lawler is definitely one in the mix to hold that seat for Labour.
Coming in there, actually, nicely juxtaposed against that is the Fine Gael picture, because Fine Gael will certainly be in the hunt for a seat here, but no guarantees, because Paul Keogh is leaving the scene, and this is one of the places where Fine Gael has no incumbent. It's running two councillors, both elected actually for the first time in 2019, so they're reasonably seasoned, Councillor Breedine Murphy and Councillor Cathal Byrne. But at the same time, they're not national figures, and even with the Fine Gael bounce in the polls, there's a bit of uncertainty about how they will do. Fine Gael generally does quite well in South Leinster, but the party lost a seat in the local elections here, and its vote was down nearly 7 points. But at the same time, the party has 8 council seats to Labour's 2 council seats, and I think that's a kind of important factor to keep in the background. So Fine Gael in the hunt, but no guarantees here for the party.
Yeah, this is a real treacherous one for Fine Gael, where the matter of incumbency really does factor. The party took...
This one of many, many constituencies where an incumbent TD isn't running.
Correct, yeah. Paul Kehoe and obviously Michael Darcy would have been in the other constituency, but the party also perhaps had eyes on the Wexford football manager, namely being John Hegarty, perhaps being the candidate here. He was also the deputy vice principal of a large school in Wexford. He was perhaps proffered as the potential candidate many months ago. That hasn't come to pass, so they have 2 young councillors who are also right on top of each other geographically. Cathal Byrne around Enniscorthy, Breedine Murphy and Clonroach just a couple of miles apart, and talking to senior Fine Gael figures, they admit that this isn't an ideal scenario for them to claim the seat, but they are hopeful, and Cathal Byrne is put forward as the more likely to take a seat for Fine Gael here. Of course, the party has held a seat in Enniscorthy, where Cathal Byrne is based, since Ivan Yates was elected in 1981.
Someone who we haven't named so far, who performed quite well at the local elections, is Jim Cadavantu.
Yes, he polled an extraordinary vote down in Rosslare, 24% of the vote down there. And local people there saying perhaps Verona Murphy's vote might be down in that area when the vote comes to pass, whenever that might be. But Jim Codd, he has a good base to work from. He had a solid showing in the 2019 by-election as well, but he just accrued 2% of the vote in the 2020 general election, and really has it all to do with the constituency right all on top of him.
Right, so Teresa, how do you see this one going?
This is a very competitive constituency. I mean, effectively going from 5 seats down to 4 seats, even with that loss of territory, because all the TDs were clustered in the south before. I think there's a seat here for Fianna Fáil. Johnny Mython from Sinn Féin should certainly do very well. But those last 2 seats are really quite open. There are a number of people who will be certainly in the hunt for them. Fine Gael will hope they're in play. The Labour Party will want to be in the running. But Verona Murphy is in there, and potentially, if Mick Wallace was to enter the competition as well, it could become a very intense contest, and it would be very difficult to say who will come out of that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree from talking to people, observers locally in Wexford. The consensus is James Brown, as at the moment a single Fianna Fáil candidate and the only member of government standing his ground in this contest. Most people regard his seat as secure. I would diverge slightly with Therese and Verona Murphy. Most observers do think she looks secure for the second seat, and thereafter you have that mad scramble with many questions which are impossible to answer. 18,000 votes for Johnny Mython the last time. Do they really evaporate to dust? Of course, the question around Mick Wallace's participation. Of course, can George Lawler hold that Brendan Howland vote? And what of Fine Gael? If they're riding high in the polls, they will surely take a seat here, but they are a very confusing or dicey strategy, it has been called by some observers in Wexford. So those 2 final seats really are impossible to call.
Gosh, it's a fascinating one. We're going to leave it there for now, but I know, Barry, you'll be back with us for an update after nominations close. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for the research, to Ruth Kennington, who was on sound, and to our producer, Alistair McConnell. And remember to tune in to RTE Radio 1 on results weekend and across RTE Television and all our digital platforms for full coverage of all 43 constituencies.
Know Your Constituency, the RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.